It is March 16th. We're learning the character of Moshe, and we are in Parshas Chukas, where Moshe and Aaron suffer the loss of their sister. It's important to remember that the Parsha begins with the mitzvah of Parah Aduma, this week's special Torah reading, and that according to Chazal, this Parsha was told to them on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which means that at the end of Vayakel Tudei, the end of Shmos, which tells us that the Mishkan was completed on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that at the end of Shmos, this is what's next, before Vayikra. Okay? It's mashma that the Jews were aware of the Parah Aduma because even before they were told about Tumas Kohanim in Parshas Emor, we're told that when Nadav and Avihu died, right, that his cousins had to be called in, his Levite cousins, the children of Uziel, were called in to drag out the bodies, right? So they must have known something about Tumah, right? So if you know about Tumah, you have to know about its purification. Okay, I'm just pointing that out. Okay.
What exactly does the
Parah Aduma
do?
What does the Parah Aduma do?
If
you are death defiled, you can't eat kachshim, you can't eat kabanos. So the reason why we read it now is because Pesach is coming up. So if you're death defiled, make sure you take care of that, right? So that you can eat the Korban Pesach. That's why we read it this time of year, right? So it doesn't have any explanation because it's not supposed to have explanation. Death is mysterious. Keep it that way. Concentrate on life. Okay. So, as far as the reason why I'm telling you this is because it's crucial to appreciate that Parshas Chukas begins towards the beginning of our time in the desert, and in between chapter 19 and chapter 20, right, is 38 years. Okay, we've had this discussion. I just want to concentrate on that information. Right, this is not the first time they have thirsted for water. They needed water in Parshas Beshalach, where Moshe was told to take a stick and hit the rock. Here he's told to take a stick and speak to the rock. I mean, the difference is what I just said. In the beginning of our stay in the desert, we hit rocks to get water. At the end of our stay in the desert, we talk to rocks to get water. Right? There's an amazing secret that the Rambam's son, Avraham ben Arambam, says that my father had with respect to one of the mitzvahs in Parshas Mishpatim that says, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. He doesn't state explicitly what this is, but there are many scholars who think the following, that in the beginning of the time in the desert, that was meant to be taken literally, because we were very violent with one another. We were just slaves, we needed to calm down a little. Later on, the mitzvah evolved, so to say, to mean this was all done with purpose. That Torah Shabbat Peh tells us that ayin tachas ayin means money instead of the eye that you took out. And in Vayikra, it actually says so. V'nosata, you shall give an eye for an eye. Really? I just took out your eye, so here, let me give you my eye. No, you should give payment for the eye. It's a good raya that that's the pshat. Okay? You hear me? Both opinions appear in the Gemara. Okay? By the way, it sounds radical that the mitzvah means something in the beginning of the years in the desert and it means something else when we get into Israel. So, but I must tell you, no, not less than the Vilna Gaon says something like this. And he says it a few times in his parish. Shadal does it all the time. Shmuel David Utsaka. But let me give you the one example by the Vilna Gaon. It's really amazing. If it wasn't in the Gra, who could say such a thing? But you know, in the Parsha of... I hope you understand what we're doing here. I'm trying to gives, makes sense of in the end, of what was done in Parashat Bishalach when you didn't have water, and what's being done here by speaking to the rock. Things change over our time in the desert.
In the beginning, Ayin Tach HaSayin means this. At the end, Ayin Tach HaSayin means that. With me? That's our segue.
The example the Vilna Gaon gives like this is of the following. Again, this is a tangent now to a tangent, but it's a worthy one. In Parshas Acharemos, it says that on Yom Kippur, you're supposed to send a goat out into the desert to atone for the sins of Israel. Right? It does not say in the Torah what you do with that goat. Past your time. Finished. The answer is no. So you should go. The Torah says to send the goat out into the desert. It doesn't say what to do with it. Are you familiar with Torah Sheba'al Peh says to do with it? Throw it off a cliff. Where did the Gemara get that? So the Vilna Gaon says, when we were in the desert, as a camp in the desert with 600,000 people, 600,000 men between 20 and 60, the thing you did with that goat was to just send it out. Let it go out. When we got into Israel, Eretz Moshevis, then you had to throw it off a cliff. Tell me the difference.
Yeah. Why just about like a square footage? Like in the desert, when you let the goat go, I mean, there's just so much space that you go outside the camp of Israel.
Right.
Israel.
And you're not likely to
see it again.
See it again. This animal's kutching. You can't use kutching. For instance, there is another carbon when we send something free. We send two birds free for a leopard. Right? So the Gemara says, are those birds kutchim? The Gemara answers, no. Because if they were kutchim, we could be making a takala. If they really had a deal of kutchim, you could never eat a bird. You could never use a bird. Because you'd always have to be worried that it might be the one that was kutchim. Kutchim don't get popular. So, in the desert, we send the goat free. Our camp is here. We are moving, but we're not going to run into this goat again. But in Yerushalayim, you just go right outside Yerushalayim, and you let the goat free. Come on, there's a community right up there. It's called Male Adumim. They're going to run into that goat. The Jews are living all over the place in here. So we better make sure that this kutchim does not make its way into another community. Following? You agree? So in the Torah, this is what it is. The Torah Sheba'al Peh tells us something that's not written in the Torah. That you have to throw it off a cliff. Show me where it says anywhere in the Torah. It says Azazel. As the Gemara just says, what is Azazel? Azazel is a short cliff. Okay, but that's not what the Targumim say. But all right, Azazel is probably related to the word Aze, which is what the goat is, but Zohar has some very interesting things about that. But that's really beyond us. Okay,
Do they use that word to say it's
a cliff? Or they just... No, the Gemara just says it's a sharp, jagged cliff.
That's what they translated.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, can't they just say this is... I mean, like, if we're assuming that the Gemara is correct... Why? Like pretend like this?
The word is a difficult word. What does it mean? So, it's all fair. But I'm just trying to say is that it's not beyond the realm of the traditional, let's say, to explain that in the beginning of the desert, this is the way we do things. At the end of the desert, then there are psukim that say so. Hopefully, it became a dor deo. And I'll just tell you, the Vilna Gaon does it on Azazel, but the Shmuel David Lutzato actually does it on a few additional points. And it may be that the Rambam said the same about Ayin Tachas Ayin, Shein Tachas Shein. Got it? So in the beginning of the desert, we hit rocks because that's the way we do things. That's the way we beat water out of the rocks. But now there's a very big teachable moment taking place in the desert. Because until now, where you lived in Egypt for 200 years, When you want, when you need water in Egypt, what do you wait for? Overflowing of the Nile. V'hishkisa barag l'cha k'gan hayarok. It's a pasuk in the book, Parshas Ekev. Just push over the water with your foot, now you got your water. You don't even need pipes. Right? Now, if you see, you know, Egypt was, the whole ancient Egypt was just a little small little strip up and down the Nile. You couldn't live too much further away. Because the water doesn't extend into small tributaries, mile here, mile there. But you know, whole, the whole ancient Egypt was just all along the Nile, which is a significantly large area. But so that's how you lived. Your water you got easily. Right? Here in the desert, also, very easily. Right? The water comes, it's following. This is how we learned that the water was this chut of Miriam, because as soon as she dies, there's no water. Right? So, another interesting tangent is that when the scouts doubted their ability to conquer the land, right? Call them scouts, we tend to call them the Meraglim in Parsha Shlach. You know, the obvious, you know, everyone asks the obvious question, come on, these guys just recently saw such amazing miracles. What on earth makes you think that those miracles can't continue? So they may have felt those miracles aren't going to continue in Israel. The careful reader of the Chumash already learned that message right after they left Egypt. What's the first thing that happens after you leave Egypt? We're coming up the coast of the Mediterranean, right? And what land do we avoid coming up this coast? L'nochom Elokim derech eretz plishtim, right? God didn't take us as plishtim, or today is Aza, right? God didn't take us up this area, even though, I want to say even though it was closer. Why? They may see war here. Plishtim are not going to be happy with these people coming into their area. And we'll go right back to Egypt because of war. Really? First of all, they were armed. But second of all, really, is that a concern of 2 weeks after Kriyas Yamsuf? I was actually Kriyas Yamsuf hasn't even happened. Is that a concern after 2 days after Makas Bechoros? The God who did it, who just humbled the Egyptians, will do the same to the Plishtim. Right? So why is this different? I mean, it's God talking. God, you're in charge here. No, he's not going to do miracles with the Plishtim like he did in Egypt. Why?
Maybe it's like the Amalek, where once Amalek attacked them, it already showed weakness on those.
Say sharper based on what we just said about the land of Israel. What were the Meraglim worried about? God will fight for you the way he fought for you.
They'll worry that they'll have a negative connotation with Israel because they finally get to Israel and now they start off with a fight. That's not like a nice way.
Well, here in Israel, you see, God isn't going to fight for you like here, like in Egypt. You're going to have to do this yourselves. And you know what you're going to have to do in Israel too? You're going to have to deserve your reign. You're going to have to deserve your grain. Right? You're going to have to deserve your protection. You're going to have to deserve whatever you get here in Israel. Because you got it for free in Egypt. Right? Really? Free? Chinam? That's the way they spoke about it in Parshas Va'alotza. But a slave works very hard, but a slave just gets whatever they give me. I'm not going to get more or less depending on my productivity. So you learned all the wrong messages of the meritocracy that the Torah hopes to have in Israel. Well, you're going to get rain if you deserve it, you're not going to get it if you don't. Right? So the Meraglim came back with a report. This is a political opinion today. But the Meraglim got so used to, in just over a year, to becoming dependent on the Mun, the Be'er, the Anane Kavod. They got so dependent on those things, they couldn't fathom living in a place where those things didn't continue for us.
But wandering through the desert for 40 years without water, that's not an issue.
Well, I had water from the bear. But so that this interesting thing, there are three mitzvahs given to Bnei Yisrael after they're told you have to spend 40 years in the desert. The priest seems to be totally disparate mitzvahs that defy any logic. Listen to the three mitzvahs. Libations that you have to bring with your korbanos, the sachim. Remove challah from bread and give it to a kohen. And tzitzis. Tzitzis is the very end, right? The very end of the shah. It goes right to korach. Right? Libations, challah, tzitzis. Why those three? Remember, there are three siblings. The man falls for Moshe. The protection of the Ananei Kavod falls for Aaron. How do we know that? Because as soon as Aaron dies, it says a bunch of nations try to kill us. What did they see? It says, Vayar, Kimeis, Aaron, next possibly, they gathered to kill us. So Chazal derived from that, that in Aaron's chus, they were Ananei Kavod that protected us. And in the absence of Aaron, they said, oh, they lost their protection. They're easy pickings now. So Moshe the Mon, Aharon the Ananim, Miriam the Be'er, the water, right? They got so dependent on these three things. What does Hashem tell them then with these three mitzvahs? When you get into the land of Israel,
you have to be self-dependent.
And the Nesachim, Keneged?
Nesachim? That's the libation?
No, libation is Keneged the Be'er. Miriam,
the Tzitzit, Keneged Aharon, and bread, Keneged Moshe.
The challah connected to the man. And the tzitzit, the covering, the protection. This is your protective covering. It's a uniform. You're fighting in my army when you're wearing tzitzis. Right? Okay, so they got dependent. And Bnei Yisrael, there's a great teachable moment here as they're standing and complaining about the war. With all due credit for Moshe, or I would, it's a theological problem, Mamish. If you're in my last class, as Morris is, you'll understand where I'm going with this. To me, it's a theological problem that God came down so hard on Moshe. And you're going to say, well, of course, Moshe was Mechal Hashem, and he hit the rock, and he took a great opportunity to teach. What's my theological problem, though? His sister just died. God, understand, Moshe's a, you know, he got angry, he showed his anger and impetuosity here and there when he killed the Egyptian, when he broke the Luchos. But, you know, you said Yishkoach, you know, in Chazal, it's Yishkoach that he broke the Luchos and he expressed anger there. So he's angry with Bnei Yisrael here. But what's, his sister just died. Cut him some slack. It's not Moshe acting. It's someone who is grieving. And Moshe, remember, it's also the end of the 40 years. Who knows what happened in those 38 years in between? Right? But you'd think that they'd cut me a little slack. Right? And instead, right, so I think we read some psukim before, right? In the last class, we haven't met for a while. So, Vayavo, a pasuk perkov. Bnei Yisrael kol ha'idah min bar tzin v'chodesh ha'rishon. Ve'eshev ha'om b'kodesh v'tamas shal Miriam b'kibur v'esham. Miriam is very good. Alo ha'edamayim l'eda, post hoc ergo propter hoc, right? After this, therefore because of this, let me prepare a cup. Ve'ekalu ha'mosh v'alam. Now, let me discuss this. Remember we did a milat mancha with the word kehila? Moshe has an opportunity to create kehila here. Look at remember we did milat mancha ish earlier in Shmos? You see, by Yikalu Amoshe Valaro, V'lama Haveisem is Kahal Hashem Al Hamidbar, right? V'eva Moshe Varon Mipnei HaKahol Al Pesach Al Moed, right? By Dvar Hashem Amoshe Leimor Kachas Hamateva HaKeil Es Farida. See it? This is the teachable moment. You have an opportunity to create kehila. What is the kehila going to be like in Israel? What you have in the desert, that's not kehila. That's just surviving the elements. You're about to go into Israel, and there will be times where they're thirsty. There's no rain. What Masechta should we be learning then?
Tani.
Should be learning Masechta's kindness, right? So you have this opportunity to teach them something, and they failed to do it. So what did they do? What did Moshe do? Moshe and Aaron? They ran into the Ohel Moed. Right? And that happened right away. So Hashem tells him, okay, go ahead. Show them what we do. Show them what Kibbutz is. You pray. You teach them. Talk. You can talk to me. When Asar Mimah will say so to him, I am in a cell of Ishkisa, so he does be wrong. So Veikach Moshe Samatet, it's a setup. He's supposed to take the stick and say, guys, you see this stick? What do you think I'm going to do with this stick? Nothing. I'm going to throw it to the ground and hook to the rock. Why isn't Hashem a little more explicit like that, huh? Did he say? He said, Kach Mishamatel, Akel Asamdemne, V'dibartem El Asela, La'inehem. So on this, I say we're left out. There's something missing here. I mean, why did Moshe miss this? There was grief? Something's missing. So Baruch Hashem, we always have a Medrash that will fill in the gaps of what's missing. Medrash says that Moshe started talking to the rock. And?
Nothing happened.
That's what leadership is. Very easy to be a leader when everything is quite, you know, black and white. People are saying, you know, they're crying. The kids are screaming. Come on, we're dying here. Someone's about to die. Moshe, get us water. Right? I went to Paro, and the minute I went there, he took away the straw. People died because of me. A man with six kids didn't come up with enough straw, and they beat him to death. And if I was to never came, God, that man would still be alive. How do you work? How does this work? That man would have gotten the straw. Right? So that's the same Moshe that's busy right here thinking, what's going to be with my sister, with my leadership? What's going to be? Right? So, that's what the Medrash filling in. That's why he hit it. Okay, he hit the rock because I had to do something. I can't sit here and watch it. It's not doing anything for me talking to it. Okay, this happens a lot in Tanakh. It happens when Shaul. Remember when Shaul waits the 7 days for Shmuel, and Shmuel's a little late coming, and Shaul brings the korban without Shmuel, and he says, forget it, you lost your kingdom. He's called to Losh HaMarkus for Hashem Elokecha. I told you to wait for me. And Shaul said, yeah, but you were late, and the people are all scrambling, and the war is upon us, and the Plishtim, I can hear them coming, I can hear the hooves of their horses, and you're late. He goes, I don't care. Why does he lose his kingdom over this? Because he waited, he didn't wait long enough? Yeah, because you know what? Other nations win battles because of mighty kings like you. Not in Israel. In Israel, we win battles because the prophet is there. I was late on purpose. How do you deal with this? Okay. Right. That's leadership. So, Moshe... And who are we to sit in judgment? Kids are dying back there of thirst. I got to get water out of this rock. V'kach Moshe samatem lifnei Hashem. So it's milifnei Hashem. Not just v'kach Moshe samatem. Milifnei Hashem. Kasher tzivahu. So this is my the point I think I made last time. was that the real problem here is that it looks like what Moshe is about to do was commanded by God. Can you hear it? If you're standing there waiting for the water, right, and you fetch for the water, Moshe runs into the Amoed, and he comes back out, it's Melifnei Hashem. You put God into the equation. You always went into the Olmoi to complain whenever something went wrong. Wouldn't we? That doesn't always appear in your earlier stories. Right? I know they needed sanctuary. They needed some time to just, God, can't they cut us a little break today? Vayakilu Moshe Ba'aron. Again, another kahal. Es ha-kahol al-pnei ha-sol. Ve'yom alahem shimuna ha-morim. Min ha-sela ha-zeno tzilatam mayim. Vayorem Moshe es yado vayachas asela v'mateu pamayim vayetsu mayim rabim v'teish ta'idu uviva. So Moshe hit the rock, not once, but twice. What does hitting it twice indicate?
First time it didn't work.
Yeah. Same thing what we just said about not talking. He said, even after hitting it, water didn't come out. There is actually a medrash that says that the reason why he was punished is because he hit it twice. If he just hit it once, he'd say, okay, this isn't working. Okay, everybody, let's pray. Let's scream out. Shir lamalo. Say sorry, no. Come on, talk. Let's do this. Teach them what you do when you have such a problem. Therefore, you will not take them.
Is it really a punishment for Moshe? It seems like Moshe didn't want to be a leader anyway, so.
Well, once you get into the land.
Yeah, but I mean, this is an issue that Rashi, a number of places in the Torah, seems to indicate that Moshe knew well before this that he wasn't coming into the land. Three places in Shmos alone, Rashi makes a whole big spiel out of the fact that Moshe knows he's not getting into Israel, and yet in the pasuk in Bamidbar, which is by everyone's accounting after Shmos, in the pasuk in Bamidbar, where Moshe tells Yisrael, we are going into the land now that God promised us. Right? In the very text. No sim, very good. No simanachnu la makom asher emar Hashem of soetei mokem. And Rashi writes, why did Moshe say we're going? Didn't he know he wasn't going? He goes, no. At that point, Moshe still thought he's coming into the land. It's a problem with Rashi. Rashi, there are tirutz into this. Right? But actually, you're right. That Moshe in Shmos, when he says shlach no biatishlach, Rashi says, take someone to take them out of Egypt who's also going to bring them to Israel. Well.
Sorry.
Okay, so open up Shadal, please. Let's be looking at this page. So let's start from the beginning. It's Moshe Rabbeinu Chatocha Tchit Echad. And if you count all the Mepharshim, you'll find 13 or more sins, with everyone figuring out what did he do wrong. Right? Everyone comes up with new ideas about what he did wrong. He brings 10 and then another one of his own. He goes, I found 13 different identifiable sins of Moshe, and I don't go along with it. Asher al kein kol yomai nimnaiti mehamik hachakira b'davar hazeh. All my years, I rejected looking into what Moshe did wrong. God told him, hit the rock. I'm sorry, speak to the rock. He hit the rock. Simple enough. Right? Question is, what's the chil Hashem in that? He didn't kadesh Hashem. What's with that? So he says, Mira Hashem amitocha ki rasi yotzal li perush chadosh. V'nimtzesi gam ani mosif avon chadosh al Moshe Rabbeinu. I didn't want to start looking at new things that Moshe did wrong. Why should we look for all these kind of things? Moshe did one thing. He sinned one thing. And here I have 13 different opinions. All 13. Are they all right? I at first thought that their sin was that they feared the Kehillah. That they fled into the Ohel Moed. And then I found three additional perushim that say the same thing. Because if what it was that he hit the rock instead of speaking to it, God would have forgiven him for that. Because he just lost his sister. The real thing that changes the game is that they ran, they didn't confront the people to tell them, let's read on. Sifro Derech Emuna. Shekosav Zelashano, Im Sha'ani Nifla Lama Lo Amru HaChoshvim Shemoshe Rabbeinu Chata. Right? Mar Shadal Das HaChocham Azehu Ki Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom Lo Chata V'yadas HaSiri Shevid Don Yitzchak Gam Bal HaKeda Hebi Dvara V'Sitar Osam V'Chshav HaMachaber Medaber Leidas HaOmim Shemoshe Chata V'Hu Tamal Lama Lo Amru Hayos Cheto Al Shelo Kitshu Es Hashem Yisbarach. According to this is just saying that Moshe didn't sin at all. Right? It says, Vyavo Moshe Varo Mipnei HaKohol El Pesach El Moed. Now we're getting back to his opinion. Sheyureka Balosame HaKohol Pochad V'ra Adam. Asher Lo Hayo Ro'ui Aleyem. Aval Yiftechu B'Hashem Yisbarach. The fact that they showed fear of the people by escaping into the Ohel Moed, and they didn't have bitachon in Hashem. V'yaminu bo ki lo yazov es chasidav v'chi akohol lo yuchul lahazikam. By escaping into the Omoid for sanctuary, they indicated that they showed fear, which is a chil Hashem. Ki zed derech mekadesh es Hashem. It's better to mekadesh Hashem and show no fear. Stand up to them. Tell them God will take care of you. Uma shelo kitchu es Hashem nimna ze lohem lemeri umah. Because they were not mekadesh Hashem, meri means rebellion, and me'ila means trespass. And that's why they had to die. Because they lost this opportunity to Kadesh Hashem by standing up to them. Right? The Hashani, another opinion who says the same, who baal mincha balula, v'zeh l'shanu, v'ani omer, achareba kosha samachila b'chol ha-mefarshim. Now after I asked mechila from all the other mefarshim, will give different opinions of what they did wrong. Shechet Moshe mefursam b'pasuk. It's clear in the pasuk. We have a Moshe b'aron, if they're called, pesach o'moi. Turned into the next column. Instead of standing at the breach and saying to them, why are you rebelling against God? Hayadoti Ktsar, is God's hand too short? They could have said, the same God who brought you all that slav, who gave you man all these years, he could take care of this too. Nistro Pesach HaMoed K'mo Borchim. They left into the Omoed like escapees. Had they stood in the breach and spoke to them this way, they would have been a Kiddush Hashem. Lepidat kol meforshim yekosher ma'ayachit Aaron, v'apidar kenu yiyad meturat zakol. Because according to the other opinions, that was because Moshe hit the rock, Moshe didn't speak to the rock. So why is Aaron punished also? Aaron should get into Israel based on this. Do you hear? He didn't hit the rock. He wasn't told to speak to the rock. Why are we punishing Aaron together with Moshe? The answer is because they both went into the Moshe. That's why it's vayavo singular Moshe Aaron, not vayavohu. Right, you see? Vayavo, they acted as one and they're getting judged as one. Okay? Vashlishi, a third opinion that says the same. Hu kadmon min hanizkarim, these earlier the others, who baal sefer avas nefesh. Okay, it should be avas nefesh. Vehu perush al harib ben Ezra, Rabbi Avram ben Ezra, al Torah v'yesh miyachsim also l'Ralbag vehu shibush. It's not Ralbag, it's a perush ben Ezra called avas nefesh. Vehu nimtza b'ksav yad b'yad yedidi hachocham Rav Yosef Almanzi. The lomis karbo shemo mechaber v'hakdama b'tchilas b'milos. Avas nefesh shogwe furuach v'rodev kadim. It's pasuk in Mishlei. And he says that the book starts with this. V'nei mechaber hazeh k'shigia l'parshas chukas yotzam mitzchitzaso she'ino ela l'ba'er divrei Rav Yom ben Ezra. V'yachiv peh v'rich l'shama shlosha dafim v'rish chit Moshe Rav. And instead of what he was doing in the rest of his book, which was to explain Ibn Ezra, when he got to Parshas Chukas, he had 3 pages of his own perush. Whoever does that? The Sifsei Chachamim doesn't do that. The Sifsei Chachamim just explains Rashi. But here, instead of just sticking to Ibn Ezra, he decides, I'm going to write all these perushim of what Moshe did wrong in Parshas Chukas. He says, Yatsami Mechitza Sa. He left his Mechitza to do that. Uliosa Sefer Yakor HaMitzius Ma'od. He said, "Ra'isi lo diat tivo l'rabim." And because this book is not in print and it's very hard to get, and it's not, and no one's ever going to see it, right? I decided that I would write down in this in my parish what he says. V'zel l'shama. V'achar asher pirashi dasi v'nezer b'shik gatzchit Moshe v'Aaron olam shalom aleihem shalom. That I hate. Usually, for as far as he's concerned, probably meant that. It probably means something else anyway. But anyway, and now after I explain the day of Ibn Ezra, explaining what the sin of Moshe, right? He says, Neva'er da'atenu bo, let me explain my own. That's wrong. You're not supposed to do that. No one's paying to buy this book to read what you have to say. They're paying you to read, to explain what Ibn Ezra had to say. You don't give your own interpretations when you're writing a parish to someone. Right? You can give your own interpretations of what you think he meant, but you're not being paid here to give your own, to run off on your own opinions. And Shaddal writes that around. Neva'er da'atenu ki bo ki kol ma shepirshu ha'meforshim inu maspik. Whatever I saw in the other meforshim is not enough. Ki odam munach b'mekomo. Let their kavod stay where it is. L'fi ha'nir elam. According to what we see, u'tchina neva'er ha'stekos ha'stiros ha'niros ha'perish kol ha'chod me'em. When I went through this story, but he's writing in poetry, I turned my heart to wander and to see what this story could mean. What was their iniquity? What was their sin that they should be punished, that they can't get into Israel for this? And I did not find a single perush that can explain, according to the lashon of the parasha, why Aaron and Moshe were punished. Ki lefi harein, you meet the Rambam here in Shmona Prokim, Rav Moshe, asher pirish ki hachet, right? Chet should be with an aleph, but he just says in Ksav Yad, and so it's spelled like that. Haya ba'avur hero so midas haka'as ba'amro shimun ha'amori. The chet was that they showed anger. Shabbos, Ramban says that. Asher lo isa azru liyad makom ahu, and what didn't belong there. Yikshe lamanen asharo, Moshe levado amar. Right? Okay, got it? In other words, he's saying, why are you punishing him for demonstrating anger? Then why was he punished? And of course, what's your better question to ask than that? This is not the first time Moshe demonstrated anger. He was angry back in Parshas Balosa. Right? Why did Hashem wait till here? Maybe he's giving him chances. By the way, Rashi, in his Perush to Parshas Balosa, says, in my opinion, when Moshe said, why have you sent me? Am I their mother? Did I give birth to them? You know what I'm talking about? Am I like a maid carrying a baby in my hand? Did I give birth to them? Then Hashem said, Rashi writes, it's for that that Moshe doesn't get into Israel. So why does Hashem wait till here? Because that was private, this is public. A smaller sin is public is much worse than a greater sin in private. Is that he showed the midah of anger. But then according to that, why is Aaron punished? He didn't show anger. And furthermore, right? Really? This one time to express anger is a chil Hashem after all the miracles they had seen? And all the other times that Moshe got angry where Hashem didn't say this? He wasn't angry of them because they asked for water. He was angry with them about the way they asked. And I wrote on the side, you see, Hagam Sha'achotom Beitara Kodem. You should have added that, for goodness sakes. Why doesn't he talk about it? Why don't you mention that? Moshe's sister just died. But Tolomar, Behik Hahalam Derech Meri Beshekashru Lariv Imo Kederech Amordim Bemacham. He spoke to them as if though they were rebelling against the king. I think that Moshe was correct. I think the Rambam is wrong. I think Moshe was correct in getting angry with them. Sometimes you have to get angry. And he brings other kushios, not least of which is, again, this is not the first time Moshe gets angry. Hashem should have told Moshe, you don't get, and the first time he got angry, then he doesn't get into Israel. The Markiya Navihu Baal Habriya Hashlema Shara Kavanoi Love Mitsirus Hashafel. Vuhumikat Hamakhuyav Yaasep Lota Ruyot Vyashiva Manim Hadochim Lafiha Makamot Vahainyonim Vyigarbi Kahavi Aftiah Vyakdibik Mulim Tovim Obahavchan. I'm reading a lot because it's just one simple point. He says that a Navi, especially one on Moshe's Madrega, is someone imbued with the spirit of God. You are acting as God's shliach. You always are. But when you go into the Olam Moed and run right out the way you did, it's bigger. That's what everyone has on their minds. That's what you're doing. Right? Oba sogadam rukash obigotia sagotot. Hakol lefi haro'oyim. Turn. Lefi atitot vahadehot. Olefem rukash imashek. This is one way. You say the thing that needs to be said, like a Yirmiyahu. You know what you're saying is unpopular. You know what you're saying is not going to be received by the masses. You have faith in God. You deliver God's message. There's only one time in the book, it may have come out in the last class, one time in the book where Yirmiyahu gives a prophecy and people set people on to the king, and when he comes out, the people ask him, what did you just tell the king? And he lies. But he knew he had to. You know why? Because he begged the king to surrender to the Babylonians. Tzidkio told him, the people waiting outside are going to ask what you told me. If you tell them that you told me to surrender, they will kill you. And Yirmiyahu knew that. So why didn't he stand up and have bitachon to stand ala peretz? Remember that lashon before? Stand at the breach and speak up for what God wants you to speak? Because in the beginning of the book, Yirmiyahu was told, I will be with you. They will try to kill you, they will not succeed. Yirmiyahu understood from the situation at hand that if he tells them, I beg the king to surrender to the Babylonians, he will kill them right there on the spot. So when he went out, he said, I begged the king not to return me to prison. Was that a wimp? A wimp out? Took the low ground? Stand up! Right?
What can I say? Sometimes that happens. When Yonatan was told by Shaul, I want to kill David, Yonatan takes the high ground and stands up to his father and says, what do you want to kill David for? When Michal was confronted, when she let him out the window, and he said, why did you let my enemy go? Instead of saying, Daddy, he's my husband. Daddy, he never tells me ever, even our most intimate moments, that he plans to take your kingdom. Right? Instead, what did she say? I had to let him out the window. He said he'd kill me if I didn't. See, Lord and Michal were saying that. But I'm not there in the room. Maybe she thought that if she stands up to him, he'd kill her. Okay. We're confronted with these kind of things all the time. We have to make a good snap judgment sometimes. Right? All right. Okay, everyone. Have a great day. We'll continue the last day before Pesach vacation.